This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we're in the book of James. We found out that James is the half-brother of Jesus, and so he became a pastor and an apostle, and he pastors the church of Jerusalem. And so he starts out by talking about trials and tribulations. And, you know, if you're going to serve God, we're going to encounter some issues. Amen. You know, I preach about this all the time. And don't be surprised if something negative comes into your equation, that, you know, the enemy is going to work against us. You know, we do have an enemy. But thank God we have an advocate, which is Jesus. Amen. And Jesus has already overcome the world. So Jesus said, do not be full of fear, but be of good cheer. Amen. So why? Because we can overcome the world, right? Yes. And so praise God. So James starts off by saying, you know, count it all joy. You know, I'm just doing a little recap. Count it all joy. And because I really believe this Christian walk is a test. That when we enter a test and a trial, I believe it comes against us to test our resolve. And it comes against us to test our attitude. Okay, there we go. Attitude. And somebody said it this way. It's attitude, not aptitude, that determines your altitude. Don't ask me to say that three times fast, okay? It's attitude, not aptitude. Aptitude is how smart you are, right? That determines your altitude. And so really, you know, a lot of times when negative things are happening, you know, it's an attitude test. Like, you might be looking at me right now and saying, Pastor, what happened to your nose? You know, it was just a couple of days ago. And, you know, I said to my wife, you know, my wife said to me, shut up. And I thought she said, stand up. And there we go. But no, that wasn't it. But I had a fight with the trash can. And I was putting some stuff in the trash can, and the you know, those big black trash cans, you guys got them. That lid went back and it hit me right between the eyes. But you know, I had a victory. Normally, I would kick the trash can, punch it, be mad at the trash can. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or you know, act like the trash can's the devil. Devil, bam, bam, bam. You know, release my anger because I just get hit. Because nobody likes to get hit, right? But I stayed calm. And I had a victory win. I stayed calm with this trash can smashing my nose in. And I thought about being the Mary Kay man this morning and having Yin kind of cover it up. But I thought this, you know, this takes the pretty boy out of me. You know, it makes me a little bit more tougher. Amen? Isn't that right? Delta, right? Amen. Delta's a tough guy over there. Amen. But the trash can was a little tougher the other day. So, but praise God, I kept my attitude. Look at your neighbor and say, keep your attitude. In other words, your attitude will enter the room before you do. Amen. And you better have a good attitude. Amen. Because we're in this fight. So I think you're going to really enjoy my message, especially for anybody out here that might be suffering. Is there anybody suffering out here? Amen. And like I said, you know, the ministry, I'm in the ministry, and kiddingly, I said, I'm in the misery. Instead of the ministry, the misery. well, you have a pastor here, amen, a retired pastor. He knows what I'm talking about. Amen. The joy of ministry, misery. Okay, but we'll continue. The joy of ministry. And so let's go to James. So we're finding out in James that you got to count it all joy. And then we found out that in the process of your testing and a trial, you need to go and get some wisdom. Amen. Yes. Don't go to Dr. Phil Good. Amen. Or Dr. Phil. But get some wisdom. Amen. Yes. Or who was in the old days? I'm dating myself. Ann Landers. What, is that right? Well, I got some people that know. My mom. Yeah, she's. Yeah. We got some. Ann Landers was the lady that I got this issue. And she was able to talk to you about that issue. Amen. Anybody remember Ann Landers? Okay. We'll continue. She wasn't a minister, I don't think. But anyway. But she did minister, I guess, good advice. So we're gonna go right in and focus on James 1. So let's look at this. And in James 1, verse 9, it says here, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower in the field, it will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man will also fade away in his pursuit. So, I'm trying to do a commentary on this. And I'm reading this last night and said, Lord, give me something good out of this because I really want to go down to the next verse. Amen. But the Lord did give me something out of this. Let me just read this in the Amplified. It says here, let the brother in humble circumstances glory in his elevation as a Christian called to the true riches and to be an heir of God. Well, that sounds so much better, doesn't it? And the rich person ought to glory in being humble by being shown his human frailty. Because like flower in the grass, he will pass away. For the sun comes up with a scorching heat, parched grass, if flower falls off, and its beauty fades away, even so will the rich man wither and die in the midst of his pursuits. So we see here that James is contrasting the average guy or the guy that's just barely making it or the poor guy to the rich guy, right? And he's saying some things to us. James is saying that to the person that's struggling perhaps in their finances as a Christian, he's saying, listen, you might be struggling right now, but maintain a right attitude. Know what you have in Christ that, you know, there's plenty of rich people that end up in hell. And I'd rather be a poor person down here, amen, and make it into heaven than be a rich, I was going to say something, be a rich person and go to hell. Amen. And so James is saying, get a proper perspective. You might be suffering right now, maybe in some maybe a financial shortfall, maybe the pandemic, and maybe it shuts your business down, or maybe you know you have to reevaluate everything and reevaluate how you spend your money, or maybe you're just tight. Anybody ever been in a tight spot in your finances out here? But he's saying, listen, get a proper attitude even in the tight spots of your finances, and know that you have salvation. That you're an heir to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we need to understand that. And I like this in 1 Timothy 6:6. It says here, now godliness with contentment is great gain. So Timothy is saying, listen, we may not always have everything we want in this life at the moment where we want it. But Timothy's saying that when we're walking in godliness and we're our heart's right with God, we're not resenting, amen, where we're at in our life. Hello, can I talk to somebody today? We're not resenting where we're at, but we're allowing God to work some fruit into our lives, amen. So he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So in other words, we need to be content in the place that God has us for the time being until he's ready to move us into a higher place, when he's ready to promote us. Like, this is a beautiful place. I love this place. But I know that God's going to bring more people in. I know eventually we're going to get it. Either we're going to knock these walls back down and add more seats and end up maybe buying this whole shopping center out. I don't know what God has in mind. But, you know, I'm not just stopping here. We're not stopping. We're moving forward. Look at your neighbor and say, move forward. Amen. And so God wants us constantly moving forward. Amen. And so we see here in Philippians 4:11-13, this is Paul. And I love this when I'm talking to the people that are struggling right now, maybe in their finances. It says here in Philippians 4:11-13, it says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content, to know how to be abased, and to know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I love this, and so Paul is saying here, he's saying, listen, I know what it's like to go hungry, and I know what it's like to eat a steak dinner. I know what it's like to be fed well, and I know, you know, he's experienced it all. Amen. We know Paul. He went through a lot of trials and tribulations in his ministry. There you go. Continue. And but you know what? He learned. Somebody say, I'm learning.
I'm learning.
See, this, even the trash can hit me in the face. I learned something from that. Don't shove things really hard in a trash can with the lid open. I learned. Or be, you know. I learned something, all right? We're always learning. You see, I'm going to say this. We never lose. And you say, oh, Pastor, I've lost a lot of things. No, no. If you have a right attitude, you learn through that process, right? So you're not really losing. You know, you're learning. And if you learn not to do something the next time, you win.
Amen.
Right? So I'm learning not to shove stuff in the trash can, okay? Amen. Ow. Okay, anyway, we continue. It looked a lot worse 2 days ago. I mean, I'm telling you, I look bad. Amen? I was talking to one of my people, and they were helping me. Michael and Telly, thank you for all your help. And Thomas, they were out here yesterday. And Michael kept staring at my nose. And I was like, what are you looking at? Pastor. Like I was talking, he says, what happened, man? Okay. I said, it was my wife. You know, no, I'm kidding. So anyway, we'll continue. And so let's look at this. So we see here that that James was contrasting the rich person to the person that is not too wealthy, that's struggling. Amen. And so we see that, and so it says here that for the rich person not to get too high minded. And sometimes when we're doing well, we're making money, the money's coming in, we sometimes can get high-minded and think that we're more than what we really are. And we can think that we can, you know, when money's coming in and we may have more finances than others, we think that we're superior. We can think that the enemy will make us think that, and that's called pride. And you know, you could have it today and you could lose it tomorrow.
Amen.
So I'm going to say this, if you want to keep it, stay humble.
Amen.
So we got to learn to stay humble even when God is really blessing us. And we got to remember where we came from. And this is a problem when people get to that place of blessing, they forget where they came from. And we got to always remember where we came from, that we were struggling people. And hopefully if we remember that, we will be doing something for somebody that's down and out. We will be blessing somebody or encouraging somebody, or, you know, like we may even bring donuts in on a Sunday morning. Amen. Why? Because we want to encourage people. God's blessing us, and we want to bless people.
Amen.
Amen. I would like to be the donut guy every once in a while. Amen?
Amen.
So are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? God blesses us, and we bless people. Amen?
Amen.
So let's talk about temptations this morning. Because we talked about trials and tests, but now we're going to talk about temptations. And a temptation is when the enemy's tempting us, or even our own flesh, our own desires, is trying to bring us into some dark areas. And we got to be very careful. We got to control those desires. Amen? And we don't want them moving us into dark areas.
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes what the devil will try to do is he will try to put pressure on us through a trial, right, or a test. And when we have that pressure on us, then he'll tempt us. Am I talking to anybody today? In other words, he will tempt us sometimes to take a shortcut. He will tempt us to quit. That's a big temptation. Sometimes the devil will try to tempt us to throw in the towel and quit. And you know my one of my favorite stories about Rocky. You know, he just needed to go the distance, right, with Apollo Creed. He didn't care about winning. He just wanted to go the distance. The first Rocky. And he did. He went the distance. All you got to do in faith is go the distance.
Amen.
In other words, just keep holding out one more day.
Yes.
And then I'll hold out another day.
Yes.
And keep holding out another day.
Yes.
And pretty soon you're on your last day on earth. And you're not just holding out, but you are in the Word. See, I'm going to be doing the same thing that I did on Friday and yesterday, which is worshiping God, reading the Bible, speaking the Word, witnessing people. I'm going to be the same yesterday on my last day on earth.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? In other words, I want to be as fired up for God on my last day as on my first day of getting saved.
Amen.
And when we are saved, fired up on our last day, I'm telling you, all heaven's going to open. Are you listening to what I'm saying today?
Yes.
You know, the pastor that started this church, Pastor Joe Warren, he's in a nursing home right now. And he had a powerful ministry, and he operated in the gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, I pray, you know, that God would fire him up and he would make that nursing home his church.
Amen.
And I pray that he would go out and that God would wake him up, and that his last days here, he's praying for somebody, winning somebody to God, preaching the word. Amen. Because we really never retire from ministry.
Amen.
And we always, God wants us always to be fired up for him. And I'm telling you, where you're at right now, do you want to be that way on the last day on earth? And this is for you to check yourself. Amen. I was talking to my sister yesterday, and she was saying, you need to watch this video. It'll fire you up. I said, really? She said, you might even watch this video. You might be able to preach really good tomorrow. I said, really? I'm up here and preach really. Yeah, you get some pointers. You know? No, because siblings, you're never, you know, a prophet's not welcome in his own house, right? So as a pastor, you know, I'm a loser with my family, right? Because they know all your weaknesses, right? So your family knows you're the biggest loser. Now, I could, you know, of course, everybody makes me look good up here. Steve makes me look good. My wife makes me look good. You know, all the workers that painted this place and make this place look nice makes me look good. Amen. But with my family, my name's Mud at times. Amen. Okay. So she said, you need to watch this video. And I was talking to her, and she said, you know, since the pandemic and all that, because I said, are you worshiping God? I mean, every day I said, I'm worshiping God. I'm just worshiping God and praising him, not only just reading my Bible, and I'm worshiping him. And God is just doing awesome things. You know, he got us into this place, and we have uncommon favor. And, you know, we have, you know, you're in a rent-free building right now for the next 2 months.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying that for you to stop tithing, okay? Oh, I don't have to give this month. No, keep giving. Keep helping us out. We need it because we're buying stuff and fixing stuff up. We got these TVs that need to be paid for. Amen? Amen. We got it on the 24-month plan. No interest. $50 a month. I can believe God for $50 a month. Now, if I said, let's take an offering up for $1,400, people would be leaving out the back door, okay? But if everybody can give a dollar in here towards the TVs once a week, we'll have these TVs paid off, amen? Amen. And so I'm talking to you about temptations, and so let's look at this. It says here in James 1, 12, and 15, now you know why it's hard for me to get through a book. But let me finish what I was going to say about my sister. She said since the pandemic... She said, but my last thing, I'm piggybacking off my last statement. And my last statement that I made a couple statements earlier was, do you want your last day on earth to be where you're at spiritually with God right now? It's quiet in this Methodist church. So if you don't, you need to start getting fired up for God.
Amen.
In other words, you need to start seeking God.
Yes.
You need to start getting, I could brag about yesterday. I can brag about how I'm still fired up for God. I'm still worshiping God. I'm still confessing the scriptures. I'm still reading the word. I'm still witnessing. But I don't want that to go, oh, now I'm retired. I don't have to do nothing. No. You still are a minister.
That's right.
Even if you're retired.
Amen.
And so he's saying here, so what my sister said was, since the pandemic and all this going on and all these prophecies about doom and gloom, because she watches some YouTube prophecies, you got to be very careful about YouTube, because it may scare the hell out of you, amen? And you're like, oh my God, the whole earth is going to be done. The whole planet's going to be blow up in November, amen? And some people are thinking that, you know, my God, I have members watching YouTube and their face is pale, you know, and like, God, everything's going down the toilet, Pastor. Everything's going down. No, it's not going down. God is still on the throne, okay?
Amen.
It's not going down, amen? God is in control. He's in ultimate control. Now we know he's allowed the devil to have some control, but he's in ultimate control, amen? And my sister said this. She said, since the pandemic, she said, I'm reading my Bible now every day. I'm praying every day. I said, praise God. It took the pandemic to get you there. Some of you might be sitting here today. I wouldn't be in church right now if it wasn't for all the hell breaking loose around me. You hear what I'm saying? Sometimes it's good to have some hell breaking loose in your life so you might get close to God. Can I have a witness in the house tonight or today? Sometimes it might be good to get you off of your blessed assurance. Amen. And start moving forward. Glory to God. Now look at James 1. Pastor, you're just having way too much fun up here. I know. I can't believe I get paid for this. Okay, we'll continue. Now, you know, I'm not going to be able to get through this sermon, man. I'm like, what time is it? I don't have a clock back there. So you know what that means? I can go all day. I said, yeah, we got to get a clock because we got to shut this down because the people are going to get, like, they're going to be like zombies, you know, in about 3 hours of me preaching. You know, like, Pastor, when are you going to shut this thing down? Okay, we'll continue. Does anybody have the time? But anyway, we'll continue. So James 1, 12 and 15. Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, underline that to those who love him. In other words, God wants you. You know, he's going to give you the crown of life to those who love him. How many people love yourself more than you love God? Okay, we won't go there. In other words, see, in the last days, they say, the Bible says people will be lovers of themselves, right? They will be boastful and arrogant against their parents. And, you know, they will be, you know, just truth breakers and all that. But they'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And see here, it says here the crown of life is given to those that love God. Do you love God even when all hell is breaking loose, amen, in your life, and it doesn't seem like God is in your corner, do you still love God?
Amen.
Amen. It's harder sometimes, but do you still push through and love God? Do you still worship God when things aren't looking right? Do you still love on God?
Yes.
Or do you say, God, I'm not going to worship you anymore until I see my blessing? No, don't be like that.
Amen.
Don't be like, well, you know, I'm not going to give any back to you, God. You know, no, you worship him anyway.
Amen.
I said, bless the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So it sounds like to me the temptation is a proving test of our love for Christ. Oh, I'm preaching today.
Yes.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? The temptation... To quit, you know, because, you know, the enemy's going to try to get us to quit,
yes,
to throw in the towel. And then he says, let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when the desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, it brings forth death. So this is pretty serious stuff here. I mean, he's saying that if we continue in sin, death is at the end of it.
Yes.
It could be a death of a relationship because your sin can hurt your family. It could destroy your relationship with your spouse, your kids. It could be death in your finances, you know, not doing the right things at work and all that. It could kill your finances and eventually it could kill your body. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? Sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. It will cost you more than you ever want to pay for it. And I don't know what the third thing is. Keep you longer than you want to stay. Thank you. Amen. Man, I'm going to get you guys preaching up here. Amen. And so I'm going to say this. You have the ability, because it talks about here about temptation. And I'm going to say this about temptation. Temptation has a time span. Oh, I'm preaching today. Whatever the enemy's tempting you, if you just do what you do with God a lot of times, ignore God. Okay, I won't go there. If you, when God tells you, go witness to your neighbor, I can't hear you, God. But anyway, if you just ignore the devil, in other words, if you just don't play into his temptations. See, the devil's like a fisherman. too. You know, Jesus said we're supposed to be fishermen, but he's a fisher. Have you ever reading anybody on the internet in here? Yeah, and you're reading maybe something, and then they have these little things, like they would say, talk about this one pastor left their wife. I saw that, you know, while I'm reading this feed, right? This one pastor left the wife. And then I Google the pastor's website and all that. There's no truth at all to it. But it's a little fisher to get you to get, oh yeah, man, there's some gossip there. Juicy gossip. You know, the flesh loves gossip. What's going on in that minister's life? I thought that minister was crooked. So it plays into your narrative. I thought that minister, I always knew that minister was all about the money. So you buy into this narrative that's not even true. By false stuff coming on the internet and even on the news that we watch. And we got to be discerning in the end times, because anybody can spin something to make it on a strong point of truth, and it may not be any truth to it at all. Amen. And so I'm talking to you about temptation, and temptation has a time span to it, and you can outlast the temptations that hit your life.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. You can outlast the temptations. So I'm going to give you three keys that will help you in overcoming any temptation that hits you. Number one, when we're hit with a temptation, that means the enemy's trying to move on us to go the opposite of God's way. And so when we are hit with a temptation, we got to refocus on God's leading in the midst of it. We got to refocus, you know, on God's leading. Is God leading me to go to the bar tonight? To go witness to somebody? Are you here? You know, is God really leading me to go over to that single woman's house and pray for her by myself? And she's good looking. And you're telling your wife you got ministry to take care of. No. You got to use some common sense. And you got to make sure that you avoid every appearance of evil, the Bible says. And that you don't put yourself in a position. You know, man, there was this one famous minister. I think called the Dake's Bible. Anybody read it? But this guy was famous. And he was driving in his car, and this girl was 17, and she was on the side of the road. And I guess that was the time when he picked her up, and she was a hitchhiker. He was just being nice. But, you know, when the news got out, it made him look like a pervert. And they all try to spin it like this guy is a pervert. But all he was trying to do was being nice. She was on the side of the road. You know, he was concerned, and she was a young, pretty girl, and he picked her up in the car. You better have your wife with you, man. Your wife is your best protection.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. Your wife is your best protection. But amen. Men, you need to say amen or amen. It's true anyway. And so they will keep you out of hot water. They're a thermometer. Sometimes they can hear from God too. Amen. And so you have the ability. So we need to refocus on God's leading in the midst of it. And so, you know this scripture, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 8. It says that when we're encountering and the temptation for us to go the wrong way, we need to, you know, and we need to trust God. You need to trust God, because the devil's going to say, you got to put matters in your own hands. You're going to have to take care of this yourself. You're going to have to, you know, give that person a piece of your mind. And then you give enough piece of your mind out there, you'll lose your mind. I got to handle this. But this says here, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, and 8. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart, all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, I love the next verse, because every preacher always preaches that one. Oh, that's the preacher's scripture. Trust in the Lord, Pastor. Yeah, that's easy for you to say. You don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, but you're going to have to learn to trust God. I don't know what you're going through, but got to learn. You got to take authority. Amen. So it says here, now in the next verse right here, you don't hear it preached. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Amen. So we have a tendency when we're under pressure and a temptation comes our way, we have a tendency to move towards evil, either talking bad about somebody, trashing somebody, killing somebody's character. Amen. And listen, we don't have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Amen. Pray for people. Yes. And number two, when we're being tempted, we need to refocus on God's power to help us to overcome it by praying. In other words, you don't have to succumb to the donuts. Okay, I won't go there. You don't. That was for you, Charles. But you don't have to. You don't have to succumb to the weaknesses of your flesh.
Amen.
Amen. And it says here in Matthew 26:41. Matthew says here, quoting Jesus, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So how are we going to stand strong when we have the enemy working against us and he's trying to draw us into dark areas to really destroy our relationship with God and to destroy our relationship with our families? How do we stand strong? We pray. We pray. We say, "God, I need your strength today. I need your power today in my life to overcome this weakness that keeps dogging me, that keeps coming up at me. And this weakness is trying to drag my soul down to hell. I need your help. I need you. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved." And you need to be saved from those temptations that want to destroy your life, but not just your life, your relationship with God and your relationship with your family. The devil's not just after you, he's after your entire family. And if he can knock down the man in the family, he's going to knock down everybody in the family. Am I preaching today? So men, you got to stand strong. And how do you do that? On your knees. Jesus had to get into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was in his humanity. He was struggling about going to the cross, and he said, "Father, all things are possible. All things. And if it could be possible, let this cup pass by. Do it another way. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." See, Jesus had to strengthen himself in prayer. He had to get on his knees. He even brought Peter and one of the other disciples said, "Pray with me." So when you're encountering temptation, call the pastor. Call somebody that's godly. Start praying with them. So you two that are in agreement is power. Don't try to fight your fights by yourself. We lose when we fight buyers. We got to have somebody with us. If you're not overcoming this thing, you need to get somebody, an accountable partner.
Yes.
And the best accountable partner for the married people is your spouse.
Amen.
Amen. Your spouse should be your greatest supporter. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Corinthians 10:13, 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful." Somebody say, "God is faithful."
God is faithful.
"Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will always make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Glory to God. In other words, there's no temptation that can take you down to the lowest levels of misery. There's no temptation because they're all common to man. Amen. See, the devil, listen, the devil can't try anything new on you. The devil only has a couple things he can do. Right? And the devil is always doing the same things over and over again. But we just fall into those pits. I mean, he's a deceiver. The devil's a deceiver. He's not doing anything different to mankind. He's just doing the same old, same old. Oh, the grasses might be greener on the other side. You might want to, you know, the secretary's telling you how good looking you are. And you know, yeah, the grass might be. Yeah, but you still got to mow the grass. And you don't know that right down the road it could be crabgrass.
Praise God.
You might have some crabgrass. It may be worse. Out of the fryer into the pan. Or something like that. And then, number three. We need to refocus on our dominion in Christ over our bodies and our desires. We need to refocus. And you have power over your tongue. You have power over your body. You have power over the minions, the demonic spirits that will try to get you to fear. Amen. Oh, it's not going to work this time. You're going to go down. You're not going to make it. You know, the enemy's constantly whispering in our ears. No, you are going to make it. Because you're going to keep standing with God. And you're not going to give up. And you're not going to throw in the towel. And you're not going to give in to temptation. And you're not going to allow that thing to destroy you. You're going to overcome it. Glory to God. I'm not looking at wimps. I'm looking at overcomers this morning. You guys overcame. You came and pushed through. You're in church today. The devil thought he had you and he lost you. And now God knows that God knows that he has you in the palm of his hand, and you have a destiny in God, and start walking out your destiny. Don't make up excuses that I can't do anything because the way I grew up or my childhood or whatever. Amen. Pastor, you don't know. My dad never gave me any lunch money. I had to work for a living or whatever. Get over it. You're in the kingdom of God. You got a new heavenly Father that loves you with all his heart and is willing to give you the kingdom.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Remember, Jesus said, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't be like the elder brother. Remember the elder brother? The younger brother went out to spend all the inheritance. And then, you know, of course, he was in the pigsty. And then he came back. He repented, came back, and then the dad had a big party, and the elder brother said, you never threw me a party. He's still outside. Well, listen, you can party with God anytime you want.
Amen.
If you want something, God will get it to you.
Amen.
As long as you're walking with him,
right.
As long as your heart attitude is right,
yeah.
God's not holding anything back from you.
Yeah.
Glory to God. You just need to walk it out and pray it out and believe God.
Yeah.
And it will happen. Romans 6, 12 and 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as an instrument of righteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Underline that in your Bible. Sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but you are under grace. So listen, we're not under the law of sin and death, as it talks about in Romans 8. No, we're under the law of life in Christ Jesus. And the law of life in Christ Jesus is God's power to cause us to overcome in any trial, any tribulation, any temptation. It's his power. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it quickens and makes alive your mortal body by his spirit. The same spirit. My Bible says that God will walk in me and he will talk through me. And he will be my God and I will be his child. And I'm telling you, God is expressing himself through us to others through his goodness.
Amen.
I got it out.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you.
Are you listening to what I'm saying today? Amen. And so listen. It says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. And then in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority, power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt you.
Amen.
What is Jesus saying to his disciples? Well, he said that to his disciples that he sent out. And they went out two by two to witness. And they came back and said, Jesus, even the devils are subject to us in your name. And so he said, and then of course Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning that day, right? And then Jesus said, behold, I give you authority. I give you power. You have power you know not of. And you have authority, you have power in the name of Jesus. And when you speak the name of Jesus, all the demonic demons of hell has to bow to the name of Jesus. And you break the power of the devil off of you, off your family, off your kids. You break the power of the devil off them. And you stand in your authority. Glory to God. So, I don't know what time it is. The next caption is, don't be deceived. Look at your name and say, don't be deceived. And so look at what James 1, 16 and 18 says. And I'm going to close here because I feel like it's time to close. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow turning of his own. And he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Glory to God. So James is saying, do not be deceived. And because James just got finished talking about tests, trials, and temptations. And then he just said, well, the temptation is not coming from God. It's coming either from our flesh or the devil, right? And then he says, do not be deceived. You know, my brethren, every good gift comes from God. So what James is saying here, he's saying again, you know, your problem is not coming from God. It's coming from the enemy or your own flesh. Your problem is, what James is saying is, God's the good guy. Amen. That's what James is saying. God is the good guy. He's not the bad guy. And some people hate on God because, oh man, why did God allow my wife to leave me? Well, maybe you're a cruddy person. Maybe it wasn't all the devil. Maybe you just didn't walk in love. You know? Why did the devil take my fortune away from me? Maybe it was your stupid investing. Maybe you weren't listening to God. And what is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to do the blame game. There used to be a TV show on MTV, The Blame Game. I'm dating myself. John probably knows that one. He used to watch it every week. But no, I'm kidding. But anyway, The Blame Game. Right? And it was like you could blame somebody for your problems. You know, the whole world is blaming somebody for their issues. There's politics. It's all about, there's groups of politics and that will try to get you blaming this person for that. They blame President Trump for the pandemic, for killing everybody. He didn't invent the disease. He can't control that thing. How could he be behind that? Do you know what I'm saying? No, it's the devil. Amen. You know, hopefully we pray for President Trump and hopefully he's making right decisions about it. Amen. But the bottom line is, he's not behind the coronavirus. You could say China, the Chinese virus. But it's more than that. It's the devil. Yes. Working through people to destroy people's lives. So don't be deceived. In other words, if it's good, it comes from God. If it's bad, it comes from the devil. If we get that understanding in our religious mind, I'm telling you, we're going to be walking a high level of faith. Yes. Amen. And you know John 10:10. I'm closing here. In John 10:10, you know it. The Bible says, Jesus actually said, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. See, that scripture, it connects with, you know, God the Father brings good things from heaven to us. So those two scriptures really align with each other. So when Jesus said it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he was saying the devil's bad and I came that you may have more life and God is good. So if there's anything that's trying to tempt you out here, to go on a different way than God's way, it's going to eventually destroy your soul and destroy everybody around you. And you better get rid of that thing. You better become like Joseph. Amen. When Potiphar's wife was hit on him, he ran. Right? The Bible says there's only one thing that you're supposed to flee. And the Bible says we're not supposed to fear nothing. You pray about everything and fear nothing. But there's one thing we're supposed to flee, and that's lust. Youthful lust. And he says, flee youthful lust. In other words, take up running. Run it off. Flee it. Get away from it. Do whatever you can, because the enemy's trying to set you up and destroy your life and destroy your family. And it's the small foxes that destroys your lives. It's the little indiscretions that we allow in our life, and we allow these indiscretions, and we think, well, I can watch a little HBO Hell's Box Office and watch a little nudity, and I can watch all that. You can if you're a Christian. You can. You have the liberty, but it can take you down. It can take you down in a heartbeat, and you better be careful. I can't even watch the beauty pageants. Because I'd be always saying, Yen, you're so much prettier than all these girls on the thing. Why would I need to watch that? But I remember when I was in Bible school, they wanted me to judge a beauty contest. I said, I can't do that. I was a single man. I thought about wearing a t-shirt. I'm single, ready to mingle, and I'll vote for you. No, I'm kidding. But someone came to me, I want you to judge me. I said, no, I'm trying to keep my life holy. See, most people think that God wants you happy. No, God doesn't just, yes, he wants you fulfilled. He wants you joyful. But God's not looking for people to be happy. He's looking for people to be holy. Oh, I'm preaching today. He's not looking for you to, oh, that will make me happy. You know, that person will make me happier. No, it's not about being happy. It's about being holy.
Amen.
And when we start learning to be holy, I'll tell you, God will give you anything.
Amen.
I mean, as long as that thing doesn't have you.
Right.
Pretty soon, I'm going to begin my Harley Davidson motorcycle. It just sounds good. I just like to have it, just to sit on it, take some pictures. But my wife won't let me have one. And you know why? Because I test drove a scooter one day, and I test drove a scooter and I broke my foot. And I'm telling you, I mean Thomas was there that day. He saw me hopping. You know, I ran right into a wall. I mean, I didn't even take the scooter out on the highway. And he said, that's it, no Harley. You're not getting a Harley unless you get life insurance. I said baby, we're self-insured. Why do we need life insurance? We got enough money to bank to at least bury me. No, I'm kidding. But are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? So again, let me just close out that even though the temptation might be there, and even though the enemy may be working, you know, you need to learn to pray. You need to learn to stand your ground. You might need to get some help from others to stand with you, to help you to maintain your walk with God. Did you receive something today?
Yes.
Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you, Father, for your mercies and for your goodness today. And I thank you, Father God, that I know that all of us have weaknesses in here. All of us have weaknesses that are watching online. And the devil knows our weaknesses. And Father, but you are good, and you are able to help us out through these weaknesses and help us to be conquerors, Father. And Father, I just thank you for those that are here in the audience and those that are watching online. And maybe your biggest weakness is you. Maybe your biggest weakness is that you want to control your own life, and you're not willing to put yourself in God's hands and allow God to dictate your life. And so that could be your weakness. That's many people's weaknesses. They don't want to let go and let God. But I'm going to say this. If you put God in the driver's seat and you put him first place, I'm telling you, he will elevate you. He will promote you. He will bring every good thing in your life. Because that's what the Bible says, that he will give you the desires of your heart as you put him first place. So for you that's watching online, for those that might be here in the audience, maybe you have not totally sold out to God. Well, I want to say to you, sell out. Put all the chips in. Give God everything you have. Say this if you're ready to receive God in your hearts. Just say this. Dear God, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I believe you were raised from the dead for my justification. Jesus, I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. I call upon your name, and I'm saved from all my enemies. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me be the person that you called me to be. In Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.